Lamaze pleads for him. Priests implore a murderer to kill him. Lamaze warns him and he flees to Nepal. 1. The words and works of Jesus caused unrest through all the land. 2. The common people were his friends, believed in him and followed him in throngs. 3. The priests and rulers were afraid of him, his very name sent terror to their hearts. 4. He preached the brotherhood of life, the righteousness of equal rights, and taught the uselessness of priests, and sacrificial rites. 5. He shook the very sand on which the Brahmic system stood, he made the Brahmic idols seem so small, and sacrifice so fraught with sin, that shrines and wheels of prayer were all forgot. 6. The priests declared that if this Jewish boy should tarry longer in the land, a revolution would occur. The common people would arise and kill the priests, and tear the temples down. 7. And so they sent a call abroad, and priests from every province came. Benares was on fire with Brahmic zeal. 8. Lamaze from the temple Jagannath, who knew the inner life of Jesus well, was in their midst, and heard the rantings of the priests. 9. And he stood forth and said, "My brother priests, take heed, be careful what you do, this is a record-making day." 10. The world is looking on, the very life of Brahmic thought is now on trial. 11. If we are reason blind, if prejudice be king today, if we resort to beastly force, and dye our hands in blood that may, in sight of Brahm, be innocent and pure. 12. His vengeance may fall down on us, the very rock on which we stand may burst beneath our feet, and our beloved priesthood, and our laws and shrines will go into decay. 13. But they would let him speak no more. The wrathful priests rushed up and beat him, spit upon him, called him traitor, threw him, bleeding, to the street. 47. 14. And then confusion reigned, the priests became a mob, the sight of human blood led on to fiendish acts and called for more. 15. The rulers, fearing war, sought Jesus, and they found him calmly teaching in the marketplace. 16. They urged him to depart, that he might save his life, but he refused to go. 17. And then the priests sought cause for his arrest, but he had done no crime. 18. And then false charges were preferred, but when the soldiers went to bring him to the judgment hall they were afraid, because the people stood in his defense. 19. The priests were baffled, and they resolved to take his life by stealth. 20. They found a man who was a murderer by trade, and sent him out by night to slay the object of their wrath. 21. Lamaze heard about their plotting and their plans, and sent a messenger to warn his friend, and Jesus hastened to depart. 22. By night he left Benares, and with haste he journeyed to the north, and everywhere, the farmers, merchants and sudras helped him on his way. 23. And after many days he reached the mighty Himalayas, and in the city of Kapilavasta he abode. 24. The priests of Buddha opened wide their temple doors for him. Chapter 32. Jesus and Bharata. Together they read the sacred books. Jesus takes exception to the Buddhist doctrine of evolution and reveals the true origin of man. Meets Vidyapati, who becomes his co-laborer. 1. Among the Buddhist priests was one who saw a lofty wisdom in the words that Jesus spoke. It was Bharata Arabo. 2. Together Jesus and Bharata read the Jewish Psalms and Prophets, read the Vedas, the Avesta and the wisdom of Gautama. 3. And as they read and talked about the possibilities of man, Bharata said, 4. Man is the marvel of the universe. He is part of everything for he has been a living thing on every plane of life. 5. Time was when man was not, and he was a bit of formless substance in the molds of time, and then a protoblast. 6. By universal law all things tend upward to a state of perfectness. The protoplast evolved, becoming worm, then reptile, bird and beast, and then at last it reached the form of man. 7. Now, man himself is mind, and mind is here to gain perfection by experience, and mind is often manifest in fleshy form, and in the form best suited to its growth. So mind may manifest as worm, or bird, or beast, or man. 8. The time will come when everything of life will be evolved unto the state of perfect man. 9. And after man is man in perfectness, he will evolve to higher forms of life. 10. And Jesus said, Bara to Arabo, who taught you this, that mind, which is the man, may manifest in flesh of beast, or bird, or creeping thing. 11. Bharata said, from times which man remembers not our priests have told us so, and so we know. 12. And Jesus said, enlightened Arabo, are you a master mind and do not know that man knows naught by being told? 13. Man may believe what others say, but thus he never knows. If man would know, he must himself be what he knows. 14. Do you remember, Arabo, when you were ape, or bird, or worm? 15. Now, if you have no better proving of your plea than that the priests have told you so, you do not know, you simply guess. 16. Regard not, then, what any man has said, let us forget the flesh, and go with mind into the land of fleshless things, mind never does forget. 17. And backward through the ages master minds can trace themselves, and thus they know. 18. Time never was when man was not. 19. That which begins will have an end. If man was not, the time will come when he will not exist. 20. From God's own record book we read, the triune God breathed forth, and seven spirits stood before his face. The Hebrews call these seven spirits, Elohim. 21. And these are they who, in their boundless power, created everything that is, or was. 22. These spirits of the triune God moved on the face of boundless space and seven ethers were, and every ether had its form of life. 23. These forms of life were but the thoughts of God, clothed in the substance of their ether planes. 24. Men call these ether planes the planes of protoplast, of earth, of plant, of beast, of man, of angel and of cherubim. 25. These planes with all their teeming thoughts of God, are never seen by eyes of man in flesh, they are composed of substance far too fine for fleshy eyes to see, and still they constitute the soul of things. 26. And with the eyes of soul all creatures see these ether planes, and all forms of life. 27. Because all forms of life on every plane are thoughts of God, all creatures think, and every creature is possessed of will, and, in its measure, has the power to choose. 28. And in their native planes all creatures are supplied with nourishment from the ethers of their planes. 49. 29. And so it was with every living thing until the will became a sluggish will, and then the ethers of the protoplast, the earth, the plant, the beast, the man, began to vibrate very slow. 30. The ethers all became more dense, and all the creatures of these planes were clothed with coarser garbs, the garbs of flesh, which men can see, and thus this coarser manifest, which men call physical, appeared. 31. And this is what is called the fall of man, but man fell not alone, for protoplast, and earth, and plant and beast were all included in the fall. 32. The angels and the cherubim fell not, their wills were ever strong, and so they held the ethers of their planes in harmony with God. 33. When the ethers reached the rate of atmosphere, and all the creatures of these planes must get their food from atmosphere, the conflict came, and that which the finite man has called survival of the best, became the law. 34. The stronger at the bodies of the weaker manifests, and here is where the carnal law of evolution had its rise. 35. And now man, in his utter shamelessness, strikes down and eats the beasts, the beast consumes the plant thrives on the earth absorbs the protoplast. 36. In yonder kingdom of the soul this carnal evolution is not known, and the great work of masterminds is to restore the heritage of man, to bring him back to his estate that he has lost, when he again will live upon the ethers of his native plane. 37. The thoughts of God change not. The manifests of life on every plane unfold into perfection of their kind, and as the thoughts of God can never die, there is no death to any being of the seven ethers of the seven spirits of the triune God. 38. And so an earth is never plant, a beast, or bird, or creeping thing is never man, and man is not, and cannot be, a beast, or bird, or creeping thing. 39. The time will come when all these seven manifests will be absorbed, and man, and beast, and plant, and earth and protoplast will be redeemed. 40. Bharat was amazed, the wisdom of the Jewish sage was a revelation unto him. 41. Now, Vidyapati, wisest of the Indian sages, chief of temple Kapavistu, heard Bharata speak to Jesus of the origin of man, and heard the answer of the Hebrew prophet, and he said, 42. You priests of Kapavistu, hear me speak, we stand today upon a crest of time. Six times ago a master soul was born who gave a glory light to man, and now a master sage stands here in temple Kapavistu. 43. This Hebrew prophet is the rising star of wisdom, deified. He brings to us a knowledge of the secret things of God, and all the world will hear his words, will heed his words, and glorify his name. 50. 44. You priests of temple Kapavistu, stay. Be still and listen when he speaks, he is the living oracle of God. 45. And all the priests gave thanks, and praised the Buddha of enlightenment. Chapter 33. Jesus teaches the common people at a spring. Tells them how to attain unto happiness. Relates the parable of the rocky field and the hidden treasure. 1. In silent meditation Jesus sat beside a flowing spring. It was a holy day, and many people of the servant caste were near the place. 2. And Jesus saw the hard drawn lines of toil on every brow, in every hand. There was no look of joy in any face. Not one of all the group could think of anything but toil. 3. And Jesus spoke to one and said, why are you all so sad? Have you no happiness in life? 4. The man replied, we scarcely know the meaning of that word. We toil to live, and hope for nothing else but toil, and bless the day when we can cease our toil and lay us down to rest in Buddha's city of the dead. 5. And Jesus' heart was stirred with pity and with love for these poor toilers, and he said, 6. Toil should not make a person sad, men should be happiest when they toil. When hope and love are back of toil, then all of life is filled with joy and peace, and this is heaven. Do you not know that such a heaven is for you? 7. The man replied, of heaven we have heard, but then it is so far away, and we must live so many lives before we can reach that place. 8. And Jesus said, my brother, man, your thoughts are wrong, your heaven is not far away, and it is not a place of meets and bounds, is not a country to be reached, it is a state of mind. 9. God never made a heaven for man, he never made a hell, we are creators and we make our own. 10. Now, cease to seek for heaven in the sky, just open up the windows of your hearts, and, like a flood of light, a heaven will come and bring a boundless joy, then toil will be no cruel task. 11. The people were amazed, and gathered close to hear this strange young master speak. 12. Imploring him to tell them more about the Father God, about the heaven that men can make on earth, about the boundless joy. 13. And Jesus spoke a parable, he said, a certain man possessed a field, the soil was hard and poor. 14. By constant toil he scarcely could provide enough of food to keep his family from want. 51. 15. One day a miner who could see beneath the soil, in passing on his way, saw this poor man and his unfruitful field. 16. He called the weary toiler and he said, my brother, know you not that just below the surface of your barren field rich treasures lie concealed? 17. You plant, sow and reap in scanty way, and day by day you tread upon a mine of gold and precious stones. 18. This wealth lies not upon the surface of the ground, but if you will dig away the rocky soil, and delve down deep into the earth, you need no longer till the soil for naught. 19. The man believed. The miner surely knows, he said, and I will find the treasures hidden in my field. 20. And then he dug away the rocky soil, and deep down in the earth he found a mine of gold. 21. And Jesus said, the sons of men are toiling hard on desert plains, and burning sands and rocky soils, are doing what the fathers did, not dreaming they can do aught else. 22. Behold, a master comes, and tells them of a hidden wealth, that underneath the rocky soil of carnal things are treasures that no man can count. 23. That in the heart the richest gems abound, that he who wills may open the door and find them all. 24. And then the people said, make known to us the way that we may find the wealth that lays within the heart. 25. And Jesus opened up the way, the toilers saw another side of life, and toil became a joy. Chapter 34. The Jubilee in Cape Avis 2. Jesus teaches in the plaza and the people are astonished. He relates the parable of the unkept vineyard and the vine dresser. The priests are angered by his words. 1. It was a gala day in sacred Cape Avis 2. A throng of Buddhist worshippers had met to celebrate a jubilee. 2. And priests and masters from all parts of India were there, they taught, but they embellished little truth with many words. 3. And Jesus went into an ancient plaza and taught. He spoke of Father Mother God, he told about the brotherhood of life. 4. The priests and all the people were astounded at his words and said, is this not Buddha come again in flesh? No other one could speak with such simplicity and power. 5. And Jesus spoke a parable, he said, there was a vineyard all unkept, the vines were high, the growth of leaves and branches great. 6. The leaves were broad and shut the sunlight from the vines, the grapes were sour, and few, and small. 7. The pruner came, with his sharp knife he cut off every branch, and not a leaf remained, just root and stalk, and nothing more. 8. The busy neighbors came with one accord and were amazed, and said to him who pruned, you foolish man! The vineyard is despoiled. 9. Such desolation! There is no beauty left, and when the harvest time shall come the gatherers will find no fruit. 10. The pruner said, content yourselves with what you think, and come again at harvest time and see. 11. And when the harvest time came on the busy neighbors came again, they were surprised. 12. The naked stalks had put forth branch and leaf, and heavy clusters of delicious grapes weighed every branch to earth. 13. The gatherers rejoiced as, day by day, they carried the rich fruitage to the press. 14. Behold the vineyard of the Lord. The earth is spread with human vines. 15. The gorgeous forms and rites of men are branches, and their words are leaves, and these have grown so great that sunlight can no longer reach the heart, there is no fruit. 16. Behold, the pruner comes, and with a two-edged knife he cuts away the branches and the leaves of words. 17. And naught is left but unclothed stalks of human life. 18. The priests and they of pompous show, rebuke the pruner, and would stay him in his work. 19. They see no beauty in the stalks of human life, no promises of fruit. 20. The harvest time will come and they who scorned the pruner will look on again and be amazed, for they will see the human stalks that seem so lifeless, bending low with precious fruit. 21. And they will hear the harvesters rejoice, because the harvest is so great. 22. The priests were not well pleased with Jesus' words, but they rebuked him not, they feared the multitude. Chapter 35. Jesus and Vidyapati consider the needs of the incoming age of the world. 1. The Indian sage and Jesus often met and talked about the needs of nations and of men, about the sacred doctrines, forms and rites best suited to the coming age. 2. One day they sat together in a mountain pass, and Jesus said, "The coming age will surely not require priests, and shrines, and sacrifice of life." 3. There is no power in sacrifice of beast, or bird, to help a man to holy life. 4. And Vidyapati said, "All forms and rites are symbols of the things that men must do within the temple of the soul." 5. The Holy One requires man to give his life in willing sacrifice for men, and all the so-called offerings on altars and on shrines that have been made since time began, were made to teach man how to give himself to save his brother man, for man can never save himself except he lose his life in saving other men. 6. The perfect age will not require forms and rites and carnal sacrifice. The coming age is not the perfect age, and men will call for object lessons and symbolic rites. 7. And in the great religion you shall introduce to men, some simple rites of washings and remembrances will be required, but cruel sacrifice of animals and birds the gods require not. 8. And Jesus said, "Our God must loathe the tinsel show of priests and priestly things." 9. When men array themselves in showy garbs to indicate that they are servants of the gods, and strut about like gaudy birds to be admired by men, because of piety or any other thing, the Holy One must surely turn away in sheer disgust. 10. All people are alike the servants of our Father God, our kings and priests. 11. Will not the coming age demand complete destruction of the priestly caste, as well as every other caste, and inequality among the sons of men? 12. And Vidyapati said, "The coming age is not the age of spirit life, and men will pride themselves in wearing priestly robes, and chanting pious chants to advertise themselves as saints." 13. The simple rites that you will introduce will be extolled by those who follow you, until the sacred service of the age will far outshine in gorgeousness the priestly service of the Brahmic age. 14. This is a problem men must solve. 15. The perfect age will come when every man will be a priest and men will not array themselves in special garb to advertise their piety. 54. Section 7. Zen. Life and Works of Jesus in Tibetan Western India. Chapter 36. Jesus in Lhasa. He meets Meng Sui, who aids him in reading the ancient manuscripts. He goes to Ladakh. Heals a child. Relates the parable of the king's son. 1. In Lhasa of Tibet there was a master's temple, rich in manuscripts of ancient lore. 2. The Indian sage had read these manuscripts, and he revealed to Jesus many of the secret lessons they contained, but Jesus wished to read them for himself. 3. Now, Meng Sui, greatest sage of all the Far East, was in this temple of Tibet. 4. The path across Emodus Heights was difficult, but Jesus started on his way, and Vidyapati sent with him a trusted guide. 5. And Vidyapati sent a message to Meng Sui, in which he told about the Hebrew sage, and spoke for him a welcome by the temple priests. 6. Now, after many days, and perils great, the guide and Jesus reached the Lhasa temple in Tibet. 7. And Meng Sui opened wide the temple doors, and all the priests and masters gave a welcome to the Hebrew sage. 8. And Jesus had access to all the sacred manuscripts, and, with the help of Meng Sui, read them all. 9. And Meng Sui often talked with Jesus of the coming age, and of the sacred service best adapted to the people of the age. 10. In Lhasa Jesus did not teach. When he finished all his studies in the temple schools he journeyed toward the west. In many villages he tarried for a time and taught. 11. At last he reached the pass, and in the Ladakh city, Leh, he was received with favor by the monks, the merchants, and the men of low estate. 12. And in the monastery he abode, and taught, and then he sought the common people in the marts of trade, and there he taught. 13. Not far away a woman lived, whose infant son was sick nigh unto death. The doctors had declared, "There is no hope, the child must die." 14. The woman heard that Jesus was a teacher sent from God, and she believed that he had power to heal her son. 15. And so she clasped the dying infant in her arms and ran with haste and asked to see the man of God. 16. When Jesus saw her faith, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, 55. 17. My Father God, let power divine o'ershadow me, and let the holy breath fill full this child that it may live. 18. And in the presence of the multitude he laid his hand upon the child and said, 19. Good woman, you are blessed, your faith has saved your son. And then the child was well. 20. The people were astonished and they said, "This surely is the Holy One made flesh, for man alone cannot rebuke a fever thus and save a child from death." 21. Then many of the people brought their sick, and Jesus spoke the word, and they were healed. 22. Among the Ladaks Jesus tarried many days. He taught them how to heal, how sins are blotted out, and how to make on earth a heaven of joy. 23. The people loved him for his words and works, and when he must depart they grieved as children grieve when mother goes away. 24. And on the morning when he started on his way the multitudes were there to press his hand. 25. To them he spoke a parable. He said, "A certain king so loved the people of his land that he sent forth his only son with precious gifts for all." 26. The son went everywhere and scattered forth the gifts with lavish hand. 27. But there were priests who ministered at shrines of foreign gods, who were not pleased because the king did not through them bestow the gifts. 28. And so they sought to cause the people all to hate the son. They said, "These gifts are not of any worth, they are but counterfeits." 29. And so the people threw the precious gems, and gold and silver in the streets. They caught the son and beat him, spit upon him, drove him from their midst. 30. The son resented not their insults and their cruelties, but thus he prayed, "My Father God, forgive these creatures of thy hand, they are but slaves, they know not what they do." 31. And while they yet were beating him he gave them food, and blessed them with a boundless love. 32. In certain cities was the son received with joy, and he would gladly have remained to bless the homes, but he could tarry not, for he must carry gifts to everyone in all the king's domain. 33. And Jesus said, "My Father God is king of all mankind, and he has sent me forth with all the bounties of his matchless love and boundless wealth." 34. To all the people of all lands, lo, I must bear these gifts, this water and this bread of life. 35. I go my way, but we will meet again, for in my fatherland is room for all, I will prepare a place for you. 36. And Jesus raised his hand in silent benediction, then he went his way. 56. Chapter 37. Jesus is presented with a camel. He goes to Lahore where he abides with Ajayinin, whom he teaches. Lesson of the Wandering Musicians. Jesus resumes his journey. 1. A caravan of merchantmen were journeying through the Kashmir Vale as Jesus passed that way, and they were going to Lahore, a city of the hand, the five stream land. 2. The merchantmen had heard the prophet speak, had seen his mighty works in Leh, and they were glad to see him once again. 3. And when they knew that he was going to Lahore and then across the Sind, through Persia and the farther west, and that he had no beast on which to ride, 4. They freely gave to him a noble Bactrian beast, well saddled and equipped, and Jesus journeyed with the caravan. 5. And when he reached Lahore, Ajayinin and some other Brahmic priests received him with delight. 6. Ajayinin was the priest who came to Jesus in the night time in Benares many months before, and heard his words of truth. 7. And Jesus was Ajayinin's guest. He taught Ajayinin many things, revealed to him the secrets of the healing art. 8.